11. John chapter 11. Give you a second to get there. Familiar text for us today, tonight. The title of the message tonight is For the Glory of God. For the Glory of God. John chapter 11, verse 1. The Bible says, Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And when he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. And then after that, saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say to him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and thou goest thither again? And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things saith he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of his sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. And then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, to his fellow disciples, Let us go, let us also go, that we may die with him. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. And then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. And Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when he had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out following her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And they said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold, how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself, come into the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And then they took away the stone from the place where the dead were laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto him, Loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word again tonight, and thank you for those that are here and the answered prayers that we've heard about, the praises already tonight. And we thank you for that. We ask that you meet with us, Lord, speak to our hearts as always. Pray that we draw closer to you through your word. And we ask all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message, I said, is The Glory of God. The key verse is verse 4, 11 verse 4. And when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." And, you know, one of the things that we see right off the bat, of course, the big picture is that the Lord showed his power over death. The last enemy that we have to face is death. And somebody said this: if Jesus can do nothing about death, then whatever else he can do amounts really to nothing. 1 Corinthians 15:19 says this: if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If in this life only we have hope in Christ. But see, we have, you know, that's a great thing. I think sometimes people look at that backwards, but, you know, sometimes they think like everything that God's going to do for us is in the future. Like up in heaven, that's the only time that, you know, we're going to benefit from being saved, or we're going to benefit from knowing the Lord is when we get to heaven. And some people think, you know, maybe the opposite, or you know, that maybe the people that aren't saved, that, you know, that God can only do something for us in this life, and, you know, nothing's going to happen beyond the grave. But, you know, we have hope more than not only this life, but also in the life to come. And so Jesus Christ defeated man's last enemy. We know that when he went to the cross. We see that here, and he did it there totally and permanently. We see here that he had power over the grave. We know that Lazarus eventually went on to die again. That was kind of an odd life for somebody there to have to go through that twice. You know, it might have been kind of cool from his point of view. I'm certain that he didn't fear death the second time as much as he might have the first time, because he got a little taste of how it was. But everything that Jesus did, he said there in verse 4, was to glorify God. And one of the things that we need to see as Christians is everything we do should be also to glorify God. Now, what do you got to think of? Well, what kind of things glorify God? Well, the whole story, when you look at that whole story, the whole thing had to deal with faith. It was a faith problem or a faith issue. And so the thing that glorifies God, what we can see from this story right here, is faith. Faith, having faith in Jesus Christ, glorifies God. And so the purpose of what Jesus did was, and he said that he, you know, he did this that they would believe. He said in verse 15, "I'm glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe." So everything that was going on in the text was a purpose to strengthen the faith of the believers, and probably give faith to those that were not yet, you know, entrusting Christ, and then they could glorify God and give God the glory. Well, we got three groups of people that we kind of looking at in this little story right here. Number one, we have the disciples. And we see that Jesus is away from where Lazarus was. And the kind of the storyline went along as a messenger comes to Jesus with a message about Lazarus' sickness. The messenger returns back to Bethany. Jesus waits another day, and then he departs. And then finally Jesus arrives in Bethany. About 4 days had taken place with all that travel time and all those things going on. Now we can deduce from looking at the story, from verse 39 tells us that he was dead 4 days, that Lazarus was already dead by the time the messenger got to Jesus with the message about his sickness. By the time the messenger left, if you add up all the days and travel time and everything, by the time the messenger left, by the time he got to Jesus with the message that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus was already dead. He'd already died by then. Of course, Jesus, the Lord, you know, he probably knew that as well. Now, the thing is, you know, it kind of perplexed everybody, I think, along the way. When you start looking at that story, there's a lot of sorrow. There's a lot of misunderstanding. A lot of people don't know. And there might have been some things. They talked about, well, how much Jesus might have loved Lazarus and those type things. But, you know, one of the things, and sometimes you get these same kinds of questions in life in the life that we have to live on this earth. The number one thing they might have thought was, if Jesus loved Lazarus so much, why did he allow him to become sick to start with? You know, sometimes I go down to the nursing home or I'm at the hospital and people will talk about the kind of day they're having. You know, you'll be at the hospital and boy, well, I'm, you know, might be having, how are things going? Well, you know, if things were going well, you wouldn't be in a hospital, right? It wouldn't have been there to start with. And so sometimes you wonder, well, you know, we talk about, and you know, you got to think about it. Sometimes it's hard to wrap your head around it. You know, we pray a lot of times for people to get well, to get sick, this and that. Like Ruth's mom might be a good example. We pray about ready to get well, but at the same time, couldn't Jesus have kept her from having a heart problem to start with? Yes, he could have. He could have done that. And so with any sickness, couldn't it, the Lord have prevented those things from happening in the first place? Yes, he had. But in our text, everything was to glorify God. We wouldn't have had no praise report tonight. See, we wouldn't have had a praise report. Brenda would have had one, but we would have had two. And if they hadn't said, well, we did pray this morning. We said, Lord, give Mrs. Mays, we prayed that we just strengthen her. You know, give her strength. Get ready. I was singing. Well, tomorrow I told Sherry this morning tonight when we was getting ready to go out to church. Come out to church. I said, well, tomorrow morning I'm going to go down to the hospital. I said, I need to go down and see Miss Mays down the hospital. I said, well, she's already out of the hospital. Hey, man. Huh? There you go. Yeah. See, she didn't stay sick long enough for me. You got to stay sick a while for me to get down there. But it happened. So why did he allow him to become sick? Why did he delay to come to the sisters? Now, we got the answer in our Bible right here, but you got to think about that. In the first person there, if you're there, why was there a delay? But why didn't he just rush on? Or why didn't he just, they knew what Jesus could do, a lot of what he could do. Now, they didn't know that he could get Lazarus out of the grave. We can tell by the story that they said if he had been there, he wouldn't have got sick. A lot of other things. I'll get ahead of myself. Why didn't he just speak a word from where he was and say, you know, talk to God the Father and say, heal him? Jesus didn't have to be there for him to get well, did he? Yeah. He didn't have to be there. But they didn't know that yet because Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. One of the sisters. If you had been here, so you got to think about that. And so one of the things that, here's what we got to see here. You know, because we talk about God being love. The world misunderstands that, what the love there. God's love is not a pampering love. God's love is a perfecting love. God's love is a perfecting love. And so sometimes, what do we say about faith? How does faith grow? Faith doesn't grow in the good times, does it? It grows in the trial. Huh? Now, all this, you can imagine, I don't know how their faith was before, and I'm probably getting ahead of myself and getting to the end of the story. But when Lazarus comes stumbling out of that tomb, I think a lot of people's faith got really increased. But if he hadn't died, he wouldn't have been in the tomb. See, so there was something there that God was working on. So, you know, there's a question. God has a perfecting love. Lord, why do I got to go through all the things I got to go through? Because God's trying to perfect us. God's trying to perfect us. And that's how he does it. The fact that God loves us is not a guarantee that we won't have problems and pains in life. You know, I use this illustration a lot of times with people. The people that say they don't want to believe in God, they say there's not a God. Well, if God's real, why do bad things happen? Why do babies pass away? Why do all these things happen? I tell them, okay, well, let's just say there's not a God. Those bad things still happen, didn't they? So does that help you somehow? Does that help you thinking, oh, well, there's no God, therefore I feel a lot better about all the bad things that happen? Or wouldn't it be better to say, hey, there's a God that knows and understands and loves me and he realizes something's going on, right? I mean, hey, I'd rather go through the problems in life with God than go through the same problems in life without God. And so, God, there's no guarantee that there's not going to have problems and pains in life. And actually, God's doing something with those pains and problems. Never think that love and suffering are not compatible. The Bible says about Jesus, Jesus God in the flesh, and the Bible says God is love, but it said about Jesus that he was a man of sorrows. That's one of his names or titles or whatever. He's a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. The Bible tells us that. This is what it is for God. Now, this here messes a lot of people up. You know, because our whole society, isn't everything that we have, that we do, and 90% of the things that we invent in the world, we invent these things so that we will be more comfortable, right? Got these padded little seats here instead of them old hardwood ones, so we'll be more comfortable. We got the air conditioning so that you don't have a fan. Some of you still do that. Got a fan. Diana's over there shivering. People behind them be with a fan. See, I learned just do it. Make yourself comfortable, and everybody else can just fit in there somehow. But why do we do all that stuff? so we'll be comfortable. I mean, that's what we're geared up. But listen here with God. Listen, it's not important to God that we're comfortable. What's important to God is that we glorify God. And if we can glorify God in our uncomfortable state, that'll be fine. That's why, you know, listen, as I've said that about money, listen, if $1 million would help you glorify God, God would give it to you. Problem is, $1 million wouldn't help most of us glorify God. We'd be so far gone, I'd never see you again, especially when the tithing plate came around. Amen. Amen. I wouldn't see you again. So we got that. And so it's not important that we're comfortable, but it's important that we glorify God. The Bible didn't say that Lazarus wouldn't die, or Jesus didn't say that Lazarus wouldn't die, but he said that death wouldn't be the ultimate result. The ultimate result of all this was going to be that it would glorify God. And so a lot of times we find ourselves confronted with disappointment, delay, sickness. Where's our encouragement? It's in the Word of God. See, he said this sickness is not unto death, but in verse 4, for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That was encouraging words. Now, Martha and Mary forgot it because he had to go back in verse 40. See, he had to remind them. He had to remind them of what he said. Said I not unto thee that thou wast believed, thou shalt see the glory of God? Didn't I say that? Yeah, that's right. You said that. So we have to live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith in God, the faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the master of the hopeless situation. So we see the disciples probably didn't understand all this. They knew that the Lord loved Lazarus, but they didn't understand, well, why did he get sick? Why did he die? Why did the Lord delay? There was three questions right there off the bat. They could have thought in their mind. Maybe they didn't say it verbally, but they might have thought it. We might have thought it at the same time if we didn't know the end of the story yet. And then we see the sisters. You know, we know this, that faith has never increased without a trial. I've talked about that many times and did a few minutes ago. And Jesus sent a promise in verse 4, and he said that this sickness is not unto death, in other words, permanently, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. That's the message. And the promise was sent to those sisters, and now Jesus is going to find out, not that he needed to, but I guess we're going to find out how they received the message. The Bible says that Martha rushed out to meet Jesus and that Mary stayed in the house. Now, I don't know if there's any significance to that. I just wondered about it. Martha rushed out when she heard Jesus was coming. Maybe Mary was overcome with grief. She couldn't go out. But even by what Martha said, see what Martha said? 28, it said she went away. Mary was... No, be above that. Yeah, in verse 21. It says, in verse 20, it said, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. And then said Martha unto Jesus, after Martha rushed out there, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. See, so she's got some faith, but it's not a complete faith. And Mary didn't rush out. So maybe both of them, in a way, kind of fought. It's past where their help can be done. You know, we know you could have done something. Martha thought, well, you know, if you had have been here, he wouldn't have died. And Mary's probably sitting there thinking, well, you know, maybe I'm just guessing. Man, Jesus is here, nothing to do now. Nothing to do now. Not that she wasn't happy to see him or anything along those lines. In evidence, as I said, Martha had some faith. If thou had been here, my brother would not have died. Somebody said this, nobody ever died in the presence of Jesus Christ. Other than I was thinking about thief on the cross. But nobody ever died in the presence of Christ. You know, if is a big word. We sit around and wonder what might have been if. You know, there's a lot of people in hell that say, what if? A lot. Amen. What if I had to just listen to that gospel message on the radio or on the television or on the preacher that I heard, or what if I had just listened and read that tract, and I read that tract, and if I had acted on those things. There's a lot of people in hell saying, what if? Martha believed he said something to her about the resurrection, and she believed in the resurrection of the dead in the last day. That's a Jewish doctrine as well. They believe in the resurrection of the dead in the last day. So she knew something about that. She said, well, I know he'll be resurrected in the last day. I know that. Well, Jesus wasn't talking about the last day. Jesus was talking about today. He's going to be resurrected. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. I love that verse right there. I've used it a lot of times during funeral. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. And I want you to know something. Jesus took the resurrection doctrine out of a book and put it in a person himself. See, we're not saved by the Bible. I want you to understand that. You know, I'm not bad-mouthing the Bible by any means. This is the Word of God. It's God's Word. But we're not saved by the Bible. We're saved by Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We're not saved by a doctrine, but we're saved by a person, not a doctrine in a book. Let me ask you something. When you're sick, you know, do you want a doctor or do you want a medical book or formula? You know, you want a doctor, right? When, I mean, if you got to have brain surgery, do you just want to have a book about brain surgery, or do you want the surgeon, right? You want the guy that's going to get in there. If you're being sued, do you want a law book or do you want a lawyer? When you face death, do you want a savior or a doctrine written in a book? You want a savior. I mean, you want the person of Jesus Christ, and that's what they had. And Jesus showed Martha and us that God's resurrection power is available now. Martha was only one who declared her faith in verse 27. But when she said there in verse 27, she said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. But at the last minute, she failed. Down in verse 39, when she said, Jesus said, take away the stone, she said, Martha, the sister of him that is dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. See, she had some limits on her faith. She knew if you had been here, you wouldn't have died. You know, maybe he could raise the dead if he had just died a minute ago. But now he's been dead 4 days, starting to decay a little bit. It's finally, she had limits on what she believed Jesus could do. And so she kind of started saying the things that she did. And Jesus reminded her of his promise in verse 40 there. You know, he tells her, he said I not unto thee, if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. He reminded her of that just a little bit. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Roll the stone away. Man, he wasn't worried about it. Roll the stone away. And you got to imagine, you put yourself down there, you're standing at the cemetery. You know somebody's been laying in the grave 3 days. I don't know about you. They could be laying in there 300 years. I don't want them to take away the stone. Huh? You want to go down there and dig up these bones and things. Roll away the stone. Imagine everybody's kind of got quiet, you know. Got real quiet and got kind of stunned. And everybody's kind of surprised and not sure what's going to happen. So Jesus is working on everybody's faith as we go along. We get to the Jews there. There's another group of people. And it said in verse 45... And when we look at that last little group, it says, and many of the Jews was came to Mary, had seen the things which Jesus did, believed on him. It did go on in 46. I didn't read that. It said, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. I think I preached on part of that a couple of weeks ago or last week, somewhere along the way right there. But you know, of course they believed. You know, he said in verse 43, Jesus said on there, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said, you know, you've probably heard this before. I probably said it before. If Jesus hadn't have named him by name, if he'd have just said, come forth, the whole graveyard would have emptied out. Everybody would have come out of the graves. Amen. But he said, Lazarus, come forth. That's a good point right there. That's a good illustration thinking about it. You know, because when Jesus calls us to salvation, that's a personal call.
Amen.
He calls you personally, calls you by name. He's calling you for salvation. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And he come out of the grave back from the dead. Somebody said this, that when it says Jesus wept, shortest little verse in the Bible, we read it right there just a few minutes ago. But where was it? In verse 35, Jesus wept, shortest verse in the Bible, two verses. Everybody was speculating why Jesus wept. Some people said, well, you know, he wept because he felt real sorry for Lazarus. But hey, Jesus was going to raise him up out of the dead. I believe that he was probably weeping because of their unbelief, that they still didn't understand everything. But somebody else said this. I read this. He said, you know why he wept? He said, because he knew what Lazarus was leaving behind when he came out of the grave. Huh? He knew what Lazarus, absent from the body, present with the Lord, right? Lazarus already been in the presence of the Lord 4 days, and he said, man, I'm going to bring him from heaven, which Jesus himself had to come from heaven and walk as a man. He knew what Lazarus leaving behind, said he cried because he knew what he was called to have.
Amen.
Lazarus might have come out of there madder than a hornet. Man, alive. Man, you call me back from the grave. No, I doubt he wouldn't, you know, wouldn't have. But I was just think about Lazarus' life. Boy, what a testimony that guy had probably in his life, and the fact that he was dead 4 days, came back from heaven, walked and lived. We don't know how long he lived, and he died again. I bet he was probably the only person in the world that was looking forward to death more. He probably looked forward to death more than anybody in the history of the world. Amen. That second death, the second time he had to die because of what was going to happen. And just imagine, old Lazarus comes. Somebody said, the way they wrapped up the bodies and everything, somebody said that he probably couldn't walk. So it was kind of like in the movies, you know, he was just kind of slid on out there, you know, all in one thing. That'd been pretty scary. Bet there was a lot of jaw dropping going on. And Lazarus, just think about the awe. Now, for his loved ones, they probably were still, I don't know, you know, you got to picture that. It's your loved one coming out of the grave, but still, they've been in there 4 days. You've already done all the grieving process. You think you're dead, that he's dead. And man, here he's coming out of the grave. What kind of emotions would have been going through you? You know, everything probably. Joy, fear, excitement, doubt, wonder. You know, who knows what was going on. But I'm going to tell you something. Think about this. Who could deny the power of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Even the most hostile enemy. I like to got around a bunch of them old atheist groups. Out there then, man, got a bunch of them atheist people all standing around there. You know, if I'd have been maybe in Jesus' shoes, I'd have said, boy, back, yeah, we'll just having an atheist meeting down at the cemetery right there at Lazarus' grave. All you old naysayers show up, and Jesus says, Lazarus, come forth, and he comes cruising on out. And then I said, all right, Lazarus, get him. Boy, I'm telling you what, who could deny? There was no denying the power of Jesus Christ. And, you know, Lazarus is a good illustration of salvation. That's, a lot of people like to use it for that, because he was dead like all sinners. He was spiritually dead in trespasses and sins, in a sense. There's nothing you can do. You're dead. There's no. Lazarus had no power to come out of the grave. No power to come out of the tomb on his own. No power to do a thing. He was just like a lost person, has no power to deal with sin, no power to come away or get away from sin or the penalty of it. He was decayed, dead for a period of time, in other words. You know, no, they said you can't be any more dead than dead. Dead is dead, but you can be more corrupted. You know, there's more corruptible states of being dead. And so he was dead, and he was corrupted. He was decayed. Then he was raised from the dead by the power of God. The same in the salvation situation. He was given a new life. He was set free from the grave clothes. It said, it told him up there to loose him and let him go. And it was the power of God that no one can deny. This is how you glorify God, folks. Listen. This is the whole simple part of the message, is that God has called us out from being spiritually dead to salvation. That's what God's called us to. And he wants the world to see it. See, he wants the world
to see it. Look, I think, right over in the next chapter. I'm going to show you a little something. Yeah, chapter 12, look down there in verse 9. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Man, that's a salvation picture right there. See, there's the witness that God wants us to have. I mean, he had such a testimony, that resurrected life, that nobody could do anything about it. I mean, man, they saw him. What are they going to say? Man, he was dead. Buddy, there's the guy right there. Man, I mean, wouldn't you have liked to go on up there? Just, man, I want to meet you, man. Tell me about that 4 days that you were dead. Man, what a testimony that you come out of the grave. I mean, tell me all about it. And you see the power, the person, that you see the living example of the power of Christ. What does God want from us? That's what God wants from us. He wants the world to see the living example of the power of Christ, a resurrected life. A new everything new when he came out of the grave and he walked. Listen, the old life, the old habits. He shook off the clothes of the dead. New places, new things, new looks, new language, new life, and the world couldn't deny it. People wanted to see him, and it said people believed on Jesus Christ because of him. See, that's what God wants. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice that people would believe on Jesus Christ because of you, because of me?
Amen.
That's what God wants from us. And there's persecution. They wanted to put Lazarus to death too, just like Jesus, because many people believed on Jesus because of him. Hey, there's going to be people that's going to hate you. Huh? But I'm going to tell you what, there's going to be a lot of people that believe because of the power of God in your life, that resurrected life. I thought about this too. Do you think old Lazarus, when he came out of the grave, do you think he wanted to keep those old grave clothes on? No, sir, man. He wanted out of them things. They wrapped you up real tight in linen, kind of like a mummy. So what it looked like. You want to walk around looking like a mummy? Huh? You want to come out of those things, don't you? Because, you know, you're kind of bound by them to start with. And that's kind of like the binding of sin. But at the same time, it could picture a lot of other things. Old habits, old, you know, those things. And let me ask you another thing. Do you think old Lazarus wanted to hang around the cemetery after he came out of that hole right there? No. He didn't want to hang around the cemetery any longer. Why do we want to hang around the old life, the old place, the place that we lived while we're dead in trespasses and sins, while we're spiritually dead? Why do you want to live in the same place after you get saved? Listen, man, you want to get as far away from that place as possible. Separation from the world. Picture of separation from the world right there. Man, I mean, but people believed on him. He got away from there. He didn't hang around the cemetery. He didn't wear the grave clothes any longer. Listen, God wants our life to glorify him. Amen. God wants people to see a resurrected life in us. A life resurrected, listen, by the power of God. A changed life that the world cannot deny. That's the thing right there. See, we can still get the unbelievers and the atheists and those that doubt. Because there's a lot of things they try to explain all this other stuff away, creation with the Big Bang and all those other things they try to explain away. But I'm going to tell you what, when they see somebody they knew and there's a changed life, and they can say, what happened then? They say, I don't know. I don't know what happened. I know they're a different person. I don't know why they're a different person. And they're Christ-like. And then you can say, hey, it's in the power of God. They can't deny it. Amen. They may deny it, but they won't be able to explain it. It's a life that causes others to believe on Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you this. Where are you at? Are you dead in trespasses and sin? Are you still living in the grave? Do you still have the grave clothes on? The same call that Jesus gave to Lazarus, he's personally giving to you today. Shake off the grave clothes and come out of the grave. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you that you've left us here on this earth as Christians to glorify you. And I pray you give us the power and the strength to do it, Lord. Give us a desire, Lord, to do it. Live for you. That by our life, that many others would come to believe on you as well. So we'll commit that to you now. Have our invitation time, Lord. Speak to hearts, Lord, and whatever God leads us to do. I pray we'll be obedient to your leading. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God spoke to your heart.